We were in lesson number 33. This is Ezekiel. We're starting in chapter 41. And as we pick up here, I want to catch up on the last passage that we actually dealt with in lesson number 32. And it said this: "And then he brought me to the porch of the temple and measured each side pillar of the porch, 5 cubits on each side. And the width of the gate was 3 cubits on each side." Did you catch that? The width of the gate was 3 cubits on each side. "And the length of the porch was 20 cubits and the width 11 cubits. And at the stairway by which it was ascended, were columns belonging to the side pillars, one on each side." So if you look at that picture there, I have it here, and this is where I got this picture. I started about 1 o'clock, 1:15 yesterday, and got some scrap and started putting this together. Got through to about 3:30 and pretty much finished. Was fixing to do the lattice work, and I actually broke my saw, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to lose a finger trying to do this lattice work, this little bitty fine stuff. So we'll have to add that, but I brought it anyway. But if you look at that picture over on the far left-hand side, you see down where those stairs are, I've got 2 blocks of wood. I have them actually here closed. I'm going to show them to you closed. There's a gate right there, and we don't know what the gate looks like. This gate is very important. In fact, also, David, you're going to have to follow me today back and forth. There's a gate that goes across right here also. On all the outside gates, there's a gate that goes across that's 22 and a half feet wide. So this needs gates. We don't know what those gates look like. These gates are never closed. This gate, when the Lord enters into his temple for 1,000 years, that gate will be closed and no one will enter up those 8 steps for 1,000 years. It's open for the Lord to go in, closed when he gets into the Holy of Holies, and does not open again. Now, that doesn't mean that people are not able to go. They are able to go through the sides of the porches. And actually, up about the height of this room, or the 10 cubits, starts a lattice work that goes all the way up on both sides here. We'll get into that when we get to that passage. Anyway, there we have those gates that are there. That's where they are. You come up to a pillar, 5 cubits by 5 cubits, one on the other side, 5 by 5. And then here, you're going to get to fixing to get to the temple proper area, not the porch. And these are 6 by 6. So I want to get in closer to you. There's another picture. You see right there where the gates are open, and then you see I have them closed. That's a very important thing. We'll get to that when we get there. Verse 1 here in chapter 41 says this: "Then he brought me to the nave and measured the side pillars. 6 cubits wide on each side was the width of the side pillars. And the width of the entrance was 10 cubits, and the sides of the entrance were 5 cubits on each side. And he measured the length of the nave, 40 cubits, and the width, 20 cubits. Let's put that in plain English. He's past these 5 by 5 pillars. He's gone past them. In fact, I'll even show you this on the picture here. He's gone past these 5 by 5, and he's now come to the 6 by 6s. And he says the inside, this is 10 cubics. The entryway here is 10 cubics. So 17 feet 5 inches is how big the entryway. And then he gets around on the inside, and he says, well, but wait a minute, of that 6 by 6, it's only 5 cubits on the inside, and that's because it's sitting in front of this wall, this major wall, side wall, by 21 inches. In other words, here's the wall, and it's overlapping it just by 1 cubic. Now, this, by the way, this is a mock-up of the to scale that matches that scale over there. This is of the porch. I put this here so that you know this is where the wall would be. But you can tell, if you're trying to look through this little hole, you can't see anything happening back in here. So I left the wall out. You follow me? So that wall's missing. But it would have gone all the way up right here. I'm apologizing now that I didn't use my plumb line and get this wall straight. But I bet you it's straight before we meet again later on, even though I'm going to have to do some major surgery to get it unglued and unnailed. But I will get it done because I just can't stand it. All right. So he comes around, and it's a 6x6 column on each side, but it's only 5 inches deep on the inside because it's overhanging this wall. And then he says, then I measured this front entryway. This is the nave, and it is 70 cubits by 20 cubits. Or in other words, it is 70 feet by 40 cubits. It's 40 cubits by 20 cubits, or it's 70 feet by 35 feet. Got that? 70 feet by 35 feet. Now, I haven't done this, so let's see if we can figure this out. Okay, these are 2x2 blocks. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 15, 16, 17. Got it? So this nave is from here to the end of the room. That's how long this is. Got it? We're just approximating, okay? All right, so that's where we are. And then he goes on in verse 3, and he says, and then he went inside. So he's measured the nave, and he goes inside, and he measured each pillar of the doorway 2 cubits, and the doorway 6 cubits high. Well, that's 6 inches higher than this room, and you remember the rod that's on the floor. You know, this is how high the doors are. And he says, they are 6 cubits high, and the width of the doorway is 7 cubits. So you add a cubic to our rod, and that's how wide the doorway is. And he measured its length was 20 cubits, and its width was 20 cubits before the nave. And he said to me, this is the most holy place. Then he measured the walls of the temple 6 cubits. So here's a picture for you of where he gets to. He's gone through the nave, and as he's gone through the nave, he comes to a door. Now, folks, you see that door on the picture. Compare it. It's right here. That at the bottom of the beam that goes across the top, those bifold doors are taller than this room is tall, okay? So this is a big door. Now put that in perspective to how tall the temple is. It's 105 feet high. Well, 10 and a half feet of it is a door right here, really low, but purely high enough for any of us to walk through with a little extra space above us, no matter how big your head is. You can do it. Yes, ma'am. We don't know exactly. We are not told whether it's wood or stone. And remember, why does it have to be with all what we can build with today? We're building this in 45 days or less. In fact, there's an interesting passage that we're going to get to that's going to tell us a little secret. Because even though this outside wall is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have to look at it and count it because I don't remember what it is. It's 5 cubits thick. That's 8 feet, 9 inches thick. These walls all around are 8 foot, 9 inches thick. 8 foot, 9 inches thick. This is 8 foot, 9 inches thick. Got it? Okay. Oh, this one's 6 foot, by the way. I'm sorry. 6 cubits, which is 10 and a half feet thick. Got it? Okay. We don't know, but we're going to get a little clue about what's happening in some of these walls in some chambers that are around it when we get to that part. So he looks at this and he measures the doorposts, which are there in the screen, and he says, okay, they're 10 and a half feet high, and this thing is this wide, it's 7 cubits wide, and it's got this doorpost across the top. That's all what that passage means. And he says, and then he measured the wall of the temple, and it was 6 cubits. And then 41:5b, he says this. It's interesting. He's just measuring. He's measured through everything. He's measured and he's gone back, and he's gone through these doors, and he's told us back here it's 20 cubits by 20 cubits. And this place is called the most holy place. Now, if I was God And I made my most holy place 35 foot square and 105 feet high with only a 10 and a half foot door to get out. Because remember, there's a wall here. I believe I'd get a little claustrophobic. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's where he's going to be for 1,000 years. But you know what the great part about God is? He's small enough to live within your heart. You think that's claustrophobic because some of you stick him in half of one chamber instead of letting him have your whole heart. Oh, I'm meddling now, aren't I? I am meddling now. Yeah. I have to get these spiritual things in every once in a while. This is Bible study. This is not preaching. So I do those little preaching things every once in a while. Okay. He says, and the width of these side chambers, we got some side chambers he sees, were 4 cubits all around about the house on every side. And the side chambers were in 3 stories, one above the other, and 30 in each story. And the side chambers extended to the wall, which stood on the inward side all around, that they might be fastened and not be fastened to the wall of the temple itself. So you can't see this because this monstrosity to size, this is on the back side. But in your picture here, I'm going to show you this picture. That unit right there where you see a three-story wall is sitting right here. It runs all the way to the back, comes around the back of the temple, and then comes back down this way right up to about right here. It's on my drawing. Here's the chambers he's talking about. This is a 3-story chamber that looks like that picture from the side. All the way, goes all the way around. These chambers have a walkway between this chamber and the wall of the temple. We don't see it here, but we're going to learn that that chamber is 5 cubits wide. In other words, there's an 8-foot, 9-inch walkway between the temple and these chambers. There is a 35-foot walkway between this chamber and the outside chamber that is out here. It's a 35-foot walkway there. But this chamber goes all the way around, and that's what he's talking about. He says, and the side chambers surrounding the temple were wider at each successive story, because the structure surrounding the temple went upward by stages on all sides of the temple. Therefore, the width of the temple increased as it went higher, and thus one went up from the lowest story to the highest by way of the 2nd story. So now I'm showing you the cutout where I left off the roof and everything that's on the end of this example. Down on the very far end, we've got this side chamber that starts 8 foot, 9 inches away from the temple wall and goes all the way around. And as you see there in your picture, these walls are 5 cubits thick, 8 foot, 9 inches. And they're 8 foot, 9 inches from the wall of the temple. And you see the little chambers in there that are 4 cubits. And as you go up, you'll notice that the unit extends over. Now, it did not tell us how many cubits to extend it over on each side. So in doing my math from construction, I'm thinking, okay, if these were made out of stone, we could safely probably allow 2 cubits to hang out. We don't know how many, but I'm just assuming, because if you get 3 cubits out, then you've only got 2 cubits holding on. So I left 3 cubits here hanging on and 2 cubits going over the side. The same thing up in the upper level. I left 2 cubits and went off. And then everything's tied together. Now, when God puts me in charge of building this, I'm going to make some suggestions. I don't think that's going to be my job. But, hey, can I put that on a request on my resume, God, by the way? Because I would love to be part of this building of this. Actually, I just want to be the straw boss because, you remember, I got an aching back. So if I can just direct people on how to build it. He says in verse 8, he says, I also saw that the house had a raised platform all around, and the foundation of the side chambers were a full rod or of six long cubits in height, and the thickness of the outer wall on the side chambers was 5 cubits. I already told you that. But the free space between the side chambers belonging to the temple and the outer chambers was 20 cubits in width all the way around the temple. Okay, now he's just thrown, you got the side chambers and you got the outer chambers. So back to our drawing here. These are the side chambers that are around the temple. This side chamber right here is one that's here. And then when you come down 20 cubits, 35 feet, you're going to have an outer chamber. This example right here is showing you that right here, that side chamber looks like this, which is what was in the picture, okay? This outer chamber we're about to find out looks like this. It's stair-stepped different with porches out on the outside edges that face south and face north. And these outer ones don't go around. All he's telling us is, okay, there's 20 cubits between the side chamber and this chamber, and there's 5 cubits going to be right here, the free space. There's free space all the way around. And there you can see in the picture. You see that picture? You see between the wall, there's the free space. What he's saying here about the foundation is he's saying, I see a foundation, and it is 10.5 cubits up there. You got it? In other words, he's talking about the floor of the second floor and the floor of the third floor. So as he's looking up, he's calling it a foundation, but we would call it a floor. Okay, first, second floor, third floor. That's all he's saying here. And that means the height inside of these rooms is 6 inches taller than this room here. You follow me? So these are tall rooms that are inside these side chambers. He says the doorways of the side chambers towards the free space consisted of one doorway towards the north and another doorway towards the south, and the width of the free space was 5 cubits all around. So looking back at that chamber that goes around, he's telling us that there is a door on the north side and a door on the north side and a door that's on the south side on all of these rooms all the way around. By the way, they also have windows. And those windows are shut and covered, but all those windows have lattice work. And as I said a while ago, I don't know if I told you in this class or not, but when I was cutting the altar table that goes right here, this little 3 cubic by 2 cubics, it got away from me in my chop saw and just completely destroyed the 2 little plastic strips that are underneath. So now I got a hole there, and I was fixing to do that, and then I was fixing to put the lattice work. And the lattice, you're using little drops from your cuts, little bitty thin stuff, and I thought, I'm not losing a finger over this. We'll just wait on the lattice work and do it later. I'll get some pieces redone and get the tool fixed. That's right. I didn't want to lose a finger over it, because you could very easy or throw the piece at you. That's all you need to be throwing small pieces of wood at high velocity. Because when that little piece right there, wasn't that one, it was another one, threw off, it actually put a hole in my sheetrock on the other side of the saw when it blew off and it busted my finger. I thought, ooh, this is not good. It is time for me to shut down. You know, when something goes wrong, it's time to shut down. Anyway, he sees these platforms, which he's calling a foundation, but it's not a ground foundation. It's a foundation in the air, and it's nothing but a second floor and a third story. He said the building that was in front of the separate area at the side toward the west was 70 cubits wide, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick, and the length was 90 cubits long. Okay, well, I ran out of scrap material before I could build this for you, so I have to draw it for you on the board. He says it's on the west, and it is the back building. So you come behind the Holy of Holies, and you skip over some free space where there's a walkway, and behind the back where there is no gate on the western side. This temple has no entrances and complex or exits on the western side. They're all on the east, north, and south. Here's a back building. I'm going to call it the Fellowship Hall. It is 70 cubits wide and 90 cubits long, 157 and a half feet long and 122 and a half feet wide, I think it is. And it has these walls that are 5 cubits. 5 cubits is 8 feet 9 inches. And so it's got these walls, and it's sitting back here at the back. It is also, guess how tall? 1 rod tall, and it's got a roof on top of it. So it matches the same levels all the way around the other walls. Well, if you'll notice that this wall here is on the side chamber is a step-out wall, which means there's a covering that goes out so you can come out of the fellowship hall if it's raining, which is not going to be raining for 1,000 years because there's a canopy, which I haven't even talked about with y'all yet. There's a canopy over this whole 875 feet by 875 feet that covers it from the weather, so you don't have to worry about rain and sleet and snow and all of that. But we'll get to that as we go on down. Anyway, we've got this fellowship hall into the back. He says, then he measured the temple. And he says, it's 100 cubits long, and the separate area with the building, with its walls, that's the building behind, was also 100 cubits long. And he goes on, he says, and also the width of the front of the temple and that of the separate areas on the east side totaled 100 cubits. I'm going to go on through this because I'm going to show it all to you at one time. And then he measured the length of the buildings along the front of the separate area behind it with a gallery. Gallery means a walkway. On each side was 100 cubits. And he measured the inner nave and the porches and the courts. Guess what they were? 100 cubits. And so with that, let me look up here at the board. Now, this is not to scale. I know last week I did everything to scale. This week I was tired. I just wanted to give you an example. So we have that back wall. We have the chambers. We have the Holy of Holies. We have the naves. We have the front porch of the temple. We have an inner court. I wanted to write that on there. So let me do that so we don't forget that. Let me get one of my, excuse me, halftime. We're going to call this, and this is what it's called, this is the inner court. Okay? And then we have a gate, just like this gate, except it's turned around. Here's the porch on this gate, and there's the little square pillars. And it also has tables on it for the slaughtering of the animals and all that. And then we have the steps. And then we have the, right here, is that we have the outer court. And then we have the gate again. And on this one, the porch is on this side. There's our squares for the little columns that are there. All right. And by the way, there's a set of steps that goes up there. And there's not a set of steps here because it's straight on. Okay. Now, here's what he's saying to us. He's saying from the back, remember this is not to scale. From the back of the back building on the west side, the back wall, to the back of the temple, not the chambers, but to the temple, is 175 feet or 100 cubits. From the back of the temple, all the way straight out, for this temple thing, is 175 feet or 100 cubits. From the porch line, with the porch belongs to the inner court, because people are going to be able to go in from the side to go past the Lord. Once these gates are shut, nobody goes up these gates once the Lord enters. But from the front of the porch to the edge of the back of this inner porch is 175 feet or 100 cubits. Then we have the gate, which is like got behind us, is 87 and a half feet long or 50 cubits. You see the 50 and 150, okay? Then we have an outer court that's 100 cubits or 175 foot. And then we have a gate, which is 50 cubits or 87 and a half feet. So you notice we have in hundreds of cubits, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 cubits. And then when you add the two gates, we have five. So the length of the inside of this entire complex, all the way around, in sitting inside the wall of the outer walls, inside the wall, the measurement is 500 cubits all the way around. It starts at the bottom, you go 100, same thing as before, and this middle inner court is 100 by 100, okay? Happens to be right in the middle of this inner court is an altar that we don't get to talk about this week, but it's the first verse in next week's lesson. Very interesting. So verse 18 says this, talking about how all of this is designed, how what it looks like. He says, all this interior of this temple, and I'll just go ahead and tell you now, and all the doors, and we haven't even explained the doors yet, were all covered with palm trees. And in between each palm tree was a cherub who had two faces. The face of a man facing one palm tree and the face of a young lion facing the other palm tree. And then you have another cherub with a man facing the palm tree and the young lion facing. And they're all over this building. They're all over. In fact, they're over on this thing too, on this porch too. He says this, it was carved with cherubim and palm trees, and a palm tree was between each cherub and cherub, and every cherub had two faces, a man's face towards the palm tree on one side and a young lion's face towards the palm tree on the other side. They were carved on the house all around, and from the ground to above the entrance, cherubim and palm trees were carved, as well as on the walls of the nave. Every place, inside and out, you have carvings of cherubim or angels and palm trees, inside and out. Now, what's interesting a thing about this, there is nowhere in the scripture that tells us the meaning of these two-faced angels. We do not know the meaning. And we do not know the meaning of the carvings of these palm trees. We do know that they were on Solomon's temple also. They were carved there also. So this is similar. However, in Solomon's temple, when they were carved in the wood, they were then overlaid with gold. All of this is going to end up being wood paneling, and we are not told that any of it is overlaid with gold. We're not. So this is going to be carved into the wood paneling that's going to cover everything. Verse 21 says, the doorposts of the nave were square. As for the front of the sanctuary, the appearance of one doorpost was like that of the other. Now, I'm going to show you the doorpost in just a minute on the inner one so that you can see it. It's hard to see in the picture and it's hard to see in the example. But let's go to the inner one because he says, you see that picture right there? You see those doorposts? Well, those doorposts are 2 cubits by 2 cubits, and that's what the door is hanging on and swinging. It's here in the front door, and it's also right here on the inner door, too, that these doors are swinging on these doorposts that are just like that. It just so happens these are 105 foot tall and also, okay? So, yes, ma'am. Why is there an altar? Oh, you're going to get told that. But not this week. You're going to have to come next Sunday because it's first thing up in next week's lesson. I love questions like that because that's just like when you hear somebody preaching and you got a question, just keep reading. It's probably going to be answered. Now, I'm the one who tells you when we don't have an answer on something, like what in the world does these palm trees and these cherubs mean? We don't know. I have a feeling we will all know in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, but it isn't going to happen while we're here on earth because anything anybody tells you is pure speculation. We don't know. So some things we just have to leave it up to God. By the way, I could start meddling right here if you wanted me to preach at you, but this is Bible teaching, so I'm not going to preach at you about leaving it up to God. So we're just going to go on from here. Verse 23, he says, the nave and the sanctuary each had a double door. Each of the doors had two leaves to two swinging leaves, two leaves for one door and two leaves for the other. Also, there were carved on them, on the doors of the nave, cherubim and palm trees like those carved on the walls. And there was a threshold of wood on the front of the porch. So, you see those bifold doors? I can't seem to get a picture that shows you the bifold doors that are right here. Now, I must apologize. Now, whenever I was building the porch, I spent more time making these working shutters than it took me to build the rest of the whole thing. Okay? These are working shutters. When I got down to putting the doors on last on here, I thought, I'm not making working shut doors. These are glued in. So in case y'all want to play with them, they are stuck. Do not force them because they are glued in place. Oh my. Anyway, so we have bifold doors. And these doors are completely covered and decorated with palm trees and cherubs or angels with two faces, two different faces on them. And he says, and there was latticed windows and palm trees on one side and on the other and on the other side of the porch. Thus, there were the side chambers of the house and the threshold. Actually, I had to go back and look on that. He's also changing his placement on this. So here, when we come to the entrance from 10 and a half feet up, that is pure lattice that's right there. You say, well, how are the people going to get through? You got 10 and a half feet to walk through. This is plenty of room to walk through. And it'll be covered with lattice. Every window all around in all these chambers has lattice also on them. What's interesting about lattice, some of y'all growing up, you took popsicle sticks and you would weave them together and make a lattice form. And lattice is interesting. If you hold it one way, it makes a square hole. If you hold it another way, it makes a diamond hole. That is purely up to my prerogative of which way I want the holes to be. Because he doesn't tell us. We just know it's lattice. And we know what lattice is. It's little wood strips that have been woven together. Now, we don't do it like that anymore. But in the past, it literally was woven together. Like we do popsicle sticks growing up. Did you ever make popsicle sticks fans? Did I teach you how to do that growing up? Oh, do any of y'all remember when you were little? Okay, now I see the hands going. Okay, now I don't know whether it was for the popsicle sticks, or it was for that you remember when you were little. One of the two. So we have these all around these thresholds. Every place we have this lattice going in. And if I have to resort to just drawing them on, I probably will do that. If it depends on how the cutting goes. Okay, drawing the lattice. He says, then he brought me out into the courtyard. And way toward the north, and he brought me to the chambers which were opposite the separate area and opposed the building towards the north. Along the length, which was 100 cubits, was the north door. The width was 50 cubits. Now, here's what he's trying to say to us. And I don't have this built, so we have to go to the board. We come to this chamber. Up on this unit, 35 feet over is another set of buildings that's three stories. That's what I call the outer chamber. That outer chamber has three floors. The ceiling height is also 10 and a half feet in them. However, as I read through this, you're going to catch it. The openings are on the north. Remember, this one is long ways, 100 feet. And there's doors facing out to the south. There's another one up above that, well, just say where that side chamber, say that was the outer chamber. It's not. I'll just make it that way, okay? I'm easy. Outer chamber. That outer chamber, which is 35 feet from this set of chambers, which is the side chamber, those doors on the north side, and there's a walkway there. Think about being at a three-story motel where you go up to that walkway and you've got a rail right here, you've got a fence to keep you from falling off, and you go into your hotel room. And when you come out of your hotel room, you come to this walkway. And the walkways are on top of each other. You follow me? One on top of it because the building goes straight up. That's what we're talking about here. These walkways are above each other where you can come out the doors. They have windows. And the depth of them is the longest is 50 foot deep. There, it's a 100-foot long building, but the width is 50 foot. And then it gets shorter, and it tells us here by how much it gets getting shorter and shorter going up. So what's interesting is of the side chambers around the temple, it looks like this. Of the outer chamber, it looks like this. Looks like they go together. You see? Okay. But this one we know has a door on the east end. In other words, there's a doorway right here that goes into this one that we know about. And the same thing down here. There's a doorway that goes in so that you can get to these different levels. The Lord does not tell us anywhere in here about steps for these buildings. Doesn't tell us anything. Tells about the steps to the porch. Tells about the steps to the temple. Doesn't tell us about steps inside. Now, this is the 1,000-year reign, which is in front of us. I wonder if they're going to have elevators. Or my question is, will the people who are doing all this stuff need elevators? Or, but you have to remember, these are flesh and blood Levites. The answer is yes. So they've got to have some way. Well, I don't know how in the world, where do we put them? Because all we know is the side of the chambers. We don't know where the hallways are inside these buildings to get you up. Well, maybe we don't know, and maybe we do. It says this. Opposite the 20 cubits, that's the 35 feet, which belong to the inner court, and opposed to the pavement, which belongs to the outer court, was gallery corresponding to the gallery in the three stories. That's simple. Got this. Here's the inner court, okay? This 35 feet depth right here belongs to this, the size of this inner court. Then you have this outer court that goes all the way around on three sides on the other side of this outer chamber. So when you come over here to looking out of the fronts of the north or the south, you're looking out over this outer court. You got it? That goes up and goes all the way down. So it's 175 feet wide pavement area that goes around all of these chambers. And that's where it says it's looking out. He says, before the chambers was an inner walk, 10 cubits wide, a way of 100 cubits, and their opening were on the north. Okay? So, on this side, there is a passageway or a walkway that's 100 cubits long on the north side, and that's how you get into your rooms. It's just like going to a hotel. Should I put Motel 6 on here? Somewhere. Now, the upper chambers, I'm going to be glad when I get through all of this, because there is a really good spiritual part to this in this lesson. Just hang on. Now, the upper chambers were smaller because the galleries took more space away from them than the lowers and the middle one in the building. For they were in three stories and had no pillars like the pillars of the court. Therefore, the upper chambers were set back from the ground upward more than the lower and the middle. So we see it set back. You see that? Okay. As for the outer walls by the side of the chambers towards the outer court facing the chambers, its length was 50 feet, 50 cubits. For the length of the chambers which were in the outer court was 50 cubits. And behold, the length of those facing the temple was 100 cubits. It's not telling us any more than what we've learned. This is 50 foot wide, 100 foot long. 50 foot wide, 100 foot long, setting out 35 feet from the inner side chambers. Behold, the chambers was the entrance. Behold, these chambers was the entrance on the east side, and one enters from the outer court. In the thickness of the wall of the court towards the east, facing the separate area and facing the building, there were chambers. Did you catch that? In the thickness of the wall of the court towards the east, facing the separate area and facing the building, there were chambers. Now, here's what I think, and I don't know, but I'd build it this way if it was me. Let's go down to our end down here on our 5 cubic thick. This is 8.5 feet wide. And what I think it means here and on the end of the buildings is that the man just measured the thickness of the wall. So when we come up to, say, the wall back here where the clock is, that's about 5 feet thick going this way. But I happen to know that there's metal studs inside behind that sheetrock. The little man doesn't measure for Ezekiel the distance between the studs or what's behind what looks like a solid wall, because that looks like a solid wall. Do you get it? So I think he's measured the outside. And I think probably that wall is 21 inches thick, but when you get inside of it, you've got 4 cubics wide, which is plenty of room to have a chamber or a hallway leading to each of these rooms. You follow me? So there's a door, you can get in, and you can go down a hallway. The same thing on these chambers. You come in from the end, there is a door that gets you in here, and you can walk down through these chambers. Because what you're doing is he measured how wide it looked, and then there's a door right there, and you're going, that door leads into a wall that looks like, and we've been told, is 5 cubics thick, but really it's not 5 cubics thick, I don't believe. I believe it's just two sets of walls with a walk chamber down between. You follow me? Do we know that for a fact? No, we do not. But that verse right there tends to tell us that. He says the way in front of them was like the appearance of the chambers which were on the north according to their length, so was their width, and all their exits were both according to the arrangements of the opening. And that's just a summary statement that says all these rooms all the way around, they've got all the same type of openings, everything matches. They don't have a 24-inch door here and a 30-inch door here and a 36-inch door here. The doors are all the same. The windows are all the same. The lattice is all the same. Everything is in perfect and it's symmetrical in every way. By the way, the Lord is symmetrical in every way, and he really is. And so that's what he's trying to say there. Verse 12 says, corresponding to the openings of the chambers, which were toward the south, was an opening at the head of the way in front of the wall towards the east, as one enters them. So if we come up and we say, okay, we're coming to this side chamber here, and it's got 5 cubic walls. He's saying there's a door here that's headed in this wall towards the way. Well, if you go into a 5 or 8 foot, 9 inch thick wall, and you've got a door there, where does the door take you but into the solid part of the wall? That's the reason why I believe these walls were not solid. That's just how wide they were. And inside, you've got this hallway that leads with these doors to other places or up to a set of steps or whatever. Then he said to me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are opposite the separate area, they are holy chambers where the priests who are near to the Lord shall eat the most holy things. There they shall lay the most holy things, the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offerings, for the place is holy. He's now moving to some chambers that we discovered last week that are chambers for the priest. If you remember, in this inner court, down towards the gate, there's a chamber on the south side, there's a chamber on the north side, and the door on the north is to the south, and the door on the south is to the north, and this is the place where they put their garments, their robes, their offerings that they're going to offer, what they have to offer, not what the people are offering, but what they have to offer. This is where they change clothes. This is where they keep things. It's in this chamber and in this chamber. And it's interesting. Here's what he says. When the priest enters, They shall not go out into the court, outer court, from the sanctuary without laying there their garments in which they minister, for they are holy. They shall put on the other garments, and they shall approach. Then they shall approach that which is for the people. Got it. Here it is. When you come to work as a priest, you come in your everyday clothes. You go into the chamber, and let's say you're a doctor. In your chamber, you change into your operating clothes. If you're a minister, you come to the sanctuary, into the holy place, in your regular everyday clothes. But when you step up onto this inner court, you go into this chamber, and you put on your priestly robe with the priestly turban, with the priestly jewels, with the vest, with everything you have, and the sandals. When it's time to go home, you do not wear anything that you use at work in that holy place out with the regular people. You go back in there. You've got your locker. It doesn't say you have a locker, but I imagine you might have a locker because this is a modern age we live in. Hopefully you won't have to have a lock on your locker. So we don't need to call it a locker. I don't know what storage bin where you hang in your closet. You hang your stuff and you leave it there. You don't take it home when you go out among the people. It's the holiest to remain holy where it is. Now, when we finished measuring this, he brought me out by the way of the gate which faced towards the east, and he measured it all around, and he measured out on the east side, and he measured it, and it was 500 reeds long, or 500 rods in measuring. And he measured on the north side, and it was 500 reeds or rods by the measuring rod. And on the south side, he measured, it was 500 rods on the measuring, by the measuring rods or the measuring reeds. Remember, we've already talked about that last week, the word rod and reed. This is a New American Standard problem because it means exactly the same thing. And he turned to the west side and measured 500 reeds with the measuring rod. And he measured it on the four sides. And it had a wall all around. And the length was 500 and the width was 500. And to divide between the holy and the profane. And so, let me get me a pointing stick. And so he comes outside of all of this. And he comes up to this wall on the east side. Remember, this wall sits on the outside edge of this porch. And he measures this inner wall all the way down. It's 500 cubits. He goes, measures it all the way down the other way. It's 500. Measures around the back, 500. All the way up, 500. 500. Where do you get that? 100 cubits, 100 cubits, 100 cubits, 100 cubits. Then add the two porches, which equals up to 100. 500 cubits. You follow me? So inside this wall is an 875-foot plot of land where all this temple structure is sitting. He measured it. And then get this. He said, then he led me to the gate facing towards the east. That's where he saw the little man standing there when he was out on that mountain, saw him there first before any of this measurement started. He said, he brought me right there. And he says, when I got right there, he says, he put him right there, and he says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Wow! Ezekiel, who can't be much taller than about that tall, is standing in this gate. And he's looking out these. This is where it all started. Before he measured all this, before he measured way back here in the Holy of Holies and everything, he's all the way back through all these places, and he's standing right there on the plan, the eastern gate, and he looks up, and coming from the east, it's God coming. Just like he's seen twice before. You think I make this stuff up? And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. That's the city of Jerusalem. And the visions were like the visions which I saw by the river Chebar. Remember when he called him? And I fell on my face. Thank goodness he fell on his face. That's the proper thing to do. But what had he seen? Do you remember? Well, here comes God on this thing that kind of looks like this humongous chariot. It's got a pot of fire underneath him. He's burning all the way up, flaming fire. And he's got this chariot thing's got these wheels on each side that look like wheels in the middle of the wheels. And it's got an angel beside it. You remember all that? With four heads, four faces that look the different direction. And it's all happening in a whirlwind. Both of the previous times. Why would this be any different? Because he says it was just like that. He sees him coming from the east. And Ezekiel, right there in that doorway, falls on his face. What happens next? I'm glad you asked. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing towards the east. Ezekiel's on his face right there. And the glory of the Lord comes through. Goes right through this gate. Let's pick up on the board. Comes right through the gate. Right across the outer chamber. Right up the steps. Right across the gate. Right across the inner court. Right through the gates. Right past the double hung doors. Right through. Right past the altar. And into the Holy of Holies. Wow. What happens to Ezekiel? You didn't ask that question? Well, no. He may be on his face. But you remember, there's a thing called the Holy Spirit that's doing a lot of things with Ezekiel, it says. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me. The Spirit picks Ezekiel up. How many times has the Spirit picked Ezekiel up and taken him? He brought him to this whole place on the mountain in his vision. Puts him through the house, back up to the board, up from right there, out, up the steps, over the inner court, up the steps, through the gate, and right here, and puts him right there in the inner court, and he can see the glory of the Lord radiating out of the temple. And he hears a voice coming from in there, and there's only one person in there. That one person is God speaking to me, to him, and he says this. He said, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever." He's in his temple. "And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their harlotry and by the corpses of their kings when they die, by setting their thresholds, by my thresholds and their doorpost beside my doorpost, with only the walls between me and them. And they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed, so I have consumed them in my anger." Catch up. God just pronounced to Ezekiel, who is about right here on this temple area, because there's about right here in the scope of the measurements from that temple, is saying, whenever they were in charge in Jerusalem, and it started with Solomon, by the way, they brought their gods and their abominations right up to the temple that was there, and they posted them right on the other side of the wall. But that ain't going to happen anymore. And the reason why y'all are in exile is because I consumed those who did that abomination then. You have to remember, Ezekiel's living during that time. So the Lord has just brought his message for the future back to the time of Ezekiel in 572 B.C. Ezekiel, the reason why y'all are in exile, which was the last part of last lesson, is because of the abomination that your forefathers and your ancestors have done. But when he's sitting on his throne, there'll be none of that, because those who are that way will have been consumed. "Now, let them put away their harlotry and corpses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell among them forever." In other words, tell these people, the house of Israel, these elders, put away that harlotry, put away those abominations. Do it in 572 B.C. Do they? No. They don't. But when that temple is there, when the battle of Armageddon is over, when the two witnesses have died in the streets, when the battle of Gog is over, Israel will recognize. And Israel will not allow that abomination to happen any longer, because the Lord is going to be in his holy temple, dwelling among Israel, right there in Jerusalem. As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the plan. Write it out for me, Ezekiel. Go back. You're in your tent. Now, when you get back there from this vision, because he's not left. You know that. He's still in his tent on the Chebar River. He's never left. He's only there in the spirit in a vision. He's seeing it in a vision. When you wake up, write it down. Mark it down. Let them measure the plans. If they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of this house, its structure, its exits, its entrances, all its designs, all its statutes, and all its laws. And write it in their sight so that they may observe its whole design and all its statutes and do them. When you get back in 572 from this vision, put it on paper so that the rest of the Jews, for all generations to come, can see it, can measure it, can look at it, to study the laws and to study the statutes. And he says, this is the law of the house. Its entire area on the top of the mountain all around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. This is the law of the house. What's the law? Well, guess what? That's in the next verse. And we are through for the day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the God we can trust in everything. And we can thank you that you told us what's coming. And we look forward to that day. In your name, amen and amen.